It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
He was licking me.
What?
He was licking me!
Lunch Hour Reviews.
Man, I hate until he bursts.
You eating Janus! It's
feeding time. I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, covering all things horror.
With a new episode every Macabre Monday, we explore the genre with sharp focus and deep production.
We want you to love scary movies as much as we do, so we don't overshare plots or give spoilers.
Welcome back, listeners, to a Lunch Hour Review. I'm back in the States. We are coming to you from Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan.
It's like a rare sunny day. We're going to get hit with a huge snowstorm next week.
Yeah, apparently this is sandwiched with the worst weather.
So everybody and their brother is outside today.
Yeah, it's loud. We're just off of 6th Avenue. Pigeons around us are eating the barbecue-flavored potato chips.
Which are delicious, and I'm kind of hungry. I might fight them later.
So we're outside. I've been unemployed. I've lost track how long I've been unemployed.
I like
it. Part
of
the reason we're outside is because I haven't showered in a while. So I'm back from some European traveling.
And how did that go? Did you stay in any hostels, you know?
No, we were rocking it cheap, but Rachel took good care of the travel plans, and everything worked out well. Like, there was no sad story of, like, losing passports or IDs or any struggle of that sort. It was great. The wedding that we were going for in Austria, all that was cool. I'm not a winter sports guy.
Okay.
I grew up in Puerto Rico. I don't snow.
No, I don't either. Do you ski?
No, I didn't.
I saw that you were on ski lifts, and I was like, I didn't know Darren skied.
No, I don't. It was just, we were tourists on ski lifts. It was, yeah. So we went there for the heights.
Okay.
For the photo op at the very top. And that was cool. But Rome is where I fell in love. Like, Rome was incredible. It's like an ancient New York. I really like the energy.
Let's not go crazy. Okay.
I'm not a religious guy, but I love old churches.
I love going to churches, too. Yeah, that's my jam.
And you can't, like, you could literally throw a rock in any given direction, and where it lands, there's probably going to be a church. And so we stumbled onto places that, like, I saw Michelangelo's Moses, the one with the horns.
Okay.
That is likely coming from the same poor translation in the Bible where Halo mistranslates his horns.
I like it.
And all of a sudden, people start thinking Jews have horns. Like, that's where that fucking misconception comes from.
Hooray!
And so just, like, stumbling onto that kind of stuff. And their relationship with death, and I'm going to show you some stuff in a minute, but it's really different. It's almost the closest thing I can think of in terms of that is, like, it harkens to, like, Latin American Catholicism, where, like, death imagery is not off-putting. It's just part of part for the course. And in this case, like, there were angels of death over people's, like, in cathedral tombs.
Okay.
So, like, these really big stone skeletons with sickle and wings. Around the corner from where we were staying was the monastery for Capuchin monks.
Okay.
Which is...
I know the monkeys.
Right. Well, Capuchin, I guess, stands for just, like, cap. And so these monks would wear essentially, like, yarmulkes.
But aren't those tiny, cute little monkeys?
Yeah. I guess they might have some shading on their head, so it looks like they're wearing a little cap. Like, was it Abu
That's a fez. Doesn't he wear a little fez? No.
You're probably right.
I don't know.
Wrong hat on the wrong monkey. I was thinking Aladdin. Anyway. But so in this temple, they're a peculiar breed of monk in that, like, they are the self-flagellating types.
Okay.
But also... one guy who, I don't know. I'm kind of stuck on the idea that, like, if you were a pious religious figure back then and you had an outlandish idea, it just kind of got turned into the doctrine. Like, it just kind of slid in.
Right,
this guy dug up dozens of his former, like, monk friends who were dead and in the grave and started making these temple rooms with the bones of old monks.
Because they didn't have building material? Like,
well, that's the thing. They're not, like, load-bearing structures. He was just decorating.
That's fucked up. That's, like, the Ed Gein of monks.
It really was. And that's why I say that, like, Ed Gein happens to a farmer in the middle of nowhere, and he's going to start, like, making lampshades out of people. but like give it to a monk with a plethora of bodies just
like,
lying around.
This is pious. This is pure religion.
Like, yeah, just repurposing bones. And so I've got pictures and a little treat. All right, so I'm unpacking some stuff. So these are from the gift shop. These postcards, okay. You were not allowed to take photographs in those
rooms.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. You might take
touch
their
and handle them.
Souls, you know. Wow, that's a lot of bones.
It's a shitload of bones. There's one room that's got, like, almost exclusively hip bones.
That is insane.
Because he was
an
artist.
This is like a pelvis situation here.
Yeah.
Oh, this is lovely. Here he's very decoratively using the scapula. And making
which bone is the scapula?
This shoulder bone here.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And he's making a
like
sort
wings.
Of... Yeah, like wings. It's very artistic. And these are vertebrae here. Nice.
Okay, so
nice
your take-home gift is a refrigerator magnet. This was on the ceiling.
Ooh,
so the guy
like
got
guy.
Really creative in terms of setting up these bodies
but
all over
know,
the room.
But you know, it's not like he has a glue gun. How are they up there?
Like brackets, like metal brackets. He was putting things together. I think present day, a lot of these things are further supported. But at the time, like some of those walls of bones, he was just stacking shit.
This is a great ceiling because this is then just like looking down at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a,
like horizontal.
Yeah. It's a skeleton with a sickle and justice. So he's like meaning doubly business.
Fucking metal. That's like an Iron Maiden t-shirt. That's.
Well, thank you. Wow.
You're welcome.
Wouldn't that be terrifying? You, like, wake up. Well, I mean, I guess you're dead. But if you, like, look up, you open your eyes, look at the ceiling, there's this little guy up here.
I can't remember if it's the proper room, but there were a number of bodies still, like, even then buried in the same rooms.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was really creepy, but at the same time, like, it had this ethereal quality. It was, I get the, like, no photography thing, because you would certainly change the atmosphere the moment people go into like
flashing
tourist mode.
And everything. Yeah.
But that
were
place,
people
I
touching
loved.
Things though, because that's what I really love about tourists the most, that their need to touch shit.
Tourists really are like human beings on their worst possible behavior.
Yes. Even when it says in your own language, don't do that, people are still doing it.
I don't think I saw anybody touch things in that room. There were like chandeliers in our walkway. So all those spots, you were limited. Like, I couldn't get underneath the skeleton hanging from the ceiling.
Okay.
So you could only... It was like a diorama. You could look but not touch. You couldn't really enter into it. But yeah, I don't know. People are generally pretty well behaved.
Oh, that's good. That's surprising.
It's a weird... I don't know. I wouldn't... I mean, I'm creepy as fuck. I don't want to touch skeleton bones.
Yeah,
like
but they
ancient
love to
monks.
Touch everything. Tourists love to touch anything.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you know, people remember differently. Some people remember, like, your episode recently about the music and times of Fright Night
but
and Demon
like,
Night.
Wanting to, like, dig my fingers into an eye hole of, like, a skull
but, like,
is really not.
Tactile memory. The next time they touch an eye hole in a skull, they'll think, oh, this reminds me of the time I was at the Capuchin Monks Monastery.
This brings me back, they'll say.
Okay, so while I was gone, we recorded a lunch hour review, and then we had the Zach Clark episode on Herschel Gordon Lewis. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And following that, you had your like, 100% produced...
Yeah,
edited.
There's a lot going on. I
hosted.
Edited three episodes in a row I edited, and, like, I don't ever want to hear my voice again. It was getting to be, like, on Sunday night when I had done the Fright Night episode, I even didn't want to hear my husband's voice. I was angry at him because I had listened. That episode took me almost, like, 6 hours to do. It took so freaking long.
That sounds about right. That's about what it takes me. That might be a little less than what it usually takes me to edit an episode. Yeah.
Well, but you dilly-dally. I literally don't move.
Not exclusively, but yeah.
I was not moving. I was getting full of rage. The only thing that got me through it was, like, I had to keep capturing the soundtrack stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was the only thing that I was like, well, at least I get to listen to Sparks now. Or at least I get to listen to 1-800-SUICIDE or something.
Nice. I listened to the episode. I think partially on my flight back. I'm trying. No, that was this week. Yeah, I dug it. I was happy to hear it.
I mean, I thought it turned out okay, but, like, the amount of editing, when you have, like, three people who are really close friends, you say things that you're like, I don't want to keep this in the episode. I don't want other people knowing I
We're
think
gonna
these
get
things.
Letters. Yeah, and three mics, no less, is a huge burden.
And I will tell you, the Hot Sloppy Joe still continues to this day. We went on and on about Hot Sloppy Joes.
Did
you don't
did
even know how much I edited
on having explosive diarrhea in the middle of a breakdancing move? Is that where it arrived?
I mean, in the episode, yes.
Because that's kind of where I thought that was the peak. That was a hot, sloppy joke. I mean, it doesn't explain the hot, but like hot fire, like just turn a phrase, maybe. Yeah.
Well, maybe. I mean, because it was inside your body and now out. I don't want to get on the hot, sloppy Joe train.
God.
It really gets going, and I don't want to even start.
Okay. Okay. But I'll be covering editing duties for the next couple episodes to sort of balance the scales and give Mindy a break. And that takes us into the movie that we got a preview for that's out later in the month.
I do love previews. I like seeing things before other people.
Yeah, and this was a digital screener, so no need to leave the house.
I know, which even better.
Okay, so we are talking about this year's Prevenge.
I'm really sorry about your loss, and I know it's been very difficult for you. At the end of the day, you've got this force of nature now inside you. Baby knows what to do. Baby will tell you what to do. It's just nature's way.
I think nature's a bit of an arse, though, don't you?
You're getting better at this.
I'm not in control. Don't want to know what's in there. I'm scared of her. I would swap her
to have him, fuck.
She can't hear you.
She can't. She's very articulate.
Kill him. Or I kill you.
Do you want a drink?
If it's fun you're after, you've come to the right place.
I'm on the dark side. You would not believe what I've been doing recently. Very efficient with that one.
I was wondering if I could talk to you about child charity.
You're insane.
I am a working mother.
Children these days are really spoiled. Like, mummy, I want a PlayStation. Mummy, I want you to kill that man.
Listen to the sound of my voice.
Baby knows best.
Negativity's not good for the baby's spirit, really.
Do you think?
Prevenge, written, directed, and starring Alice Lowe. She's an English actress who comedy nerds would know her from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Okay.
It sounds like a Klingon name, but it was like a niche comedy show. It's on CISO now. It's been on my to-do list for a long time. It's really peculiar sounding, but like hugely influential in terms of like, I don't know, modern comedy nerds and performers.
Sure.
But so I didn't recognize her because she is like 7 months pregnant in the making of this movie.
Yes, yeah.
But she was also the assistant manager of the supermarket in Hot Fuzz.
Mr. Skinner to the manager's office. Manager's office. Mr. Skinner.
Yes, and she was in The World's End, too.
Was she in The World's End?
Yes, she was.
I had made a film called Black Mountain Poets with Jamie Adams in 5 days, which I wasn't sure you could make a feature in that short space of time. But it worked really well, and the film was well received, and Jamie said, do you want to do another film? And I was 6 months pregnant by that stage. I'd been wanting to direct a film for ages, and it's just very slow in development, and suddenly this opportunity comes to me, and it was kind of pretty much an open thing where, you know, it could be whatever I wanted. So I went back to the company and said, I've got an idea. It's a bit crazy. It's like a pregnant woman taking revenge. We could call it Prevenge. We won't actually call it that, but don't worry. I'll think of a much better title. And I came up with a pitch and they were like, we love it. And I was like, I want to shoot it in a really short time because for continuity, exhaustion levels, because I would be 7.5 months pregnant by the time we filmed it. And I devised it as a series of two-handers.
Did you know that if you hear a really high-pitched sound later on in pregnancy, you can just start spurting milk from your boobs? Like two rockets. It's like boom, boom, pow. It's quite magical.
Why are you telling me that?
Well, just so that you know you have absolutely no control over your mind or your body anymore. This one does. She's got all the control now.
Here's a short synopsis for Prevenge. Widow Ruth is 7 months pregnant when, believing herself to be guided by her unborn baby, she embarks on a homicidal rampage, dispatching anyone who stands in her way.
Yeah, that's pretty much a good summary.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it kind of, it tucks away purpose.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is like a Son of Sam in terms of this woman doing someone else's bidding. And
right.
That person's bidding is her unborn baby in her stomach who
speaks
to her.
With the creepy voice. Did love that voice work. That was really scary.
A call is coming from inside the house. So overall, I liked it. I thought it was... It was funny. It wasn't, like, gut-bustingly hilarious. Right. It's more, like, in-the-pocket English humor. It's kind of, you know, sarcastic a little. It's a quieter, less...
Yeah, quiet is a good way to put it. I mean, you know a lot of these actors from Game of Thrones, a lot of people in Game of Thrones. And then one of the people who I absolutely loved, she was probably the funniest part of it, was the doctor, the lady she kept seeing.
In Game of Thrones? I have not watched.
No, the doctor in the movie. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
She was like the midwife or whatever. And that's Jo Hartley. She was absolutely really like touching and really great in the new David Brent movie.
Oh, you watched that, the Life on the Road?
I love that movie. I thought it was so good. And so she was in that, because I kept being like, what do I know this girl from? And that's what I knew her from.
It reminded me a bit of John Waters' Serial Mom.
Okay. I could see that.
Because, you know, it's not that she's murdering people because they have bad manners or they're offending her. Right. Like in this case, like there is an agenda. And I want to say that. I don't want to talk about too much motivation stuff. I will say... It includes rock climbing. And that's all I'm gonna say. And that like it's an area I feel some familiarity with. I was kinda taken out that it doesn't really work the way it's suggested
it
works.
And I don't know anything about rock climbing and I still I don't think so. But you know, I was along for the ride. You know, I definitely was along for the ride, but even in the very end, it's still kind of like you side-eye that whole plot.
Yeah, although there's not that much on-screen gore, but what is there is pretty great.
Yeah.
And the scene relative to that climbing subject matter is pretty
dope. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah,
I loved when we finally see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's pretty disturbed.
Because it's teased the whole time, and then you're like, just give it to me. Give it to me. And then they do, and I was satisfied again for a while.
Yeah. I like the soundtrack a lot. I think a while back you coined it as synth nouveau.
Yeah.
Like the sort of newer trend sort of harkening back to John Carpenter's
stuff.
Like,
it's really
the guest,
great.
It follows. I liked it a lot. It's like synthy. It's poppy. It's pretty upbeat.
Synth pop, we might call it.
So, yeah. I thought as far as directorial debuts, Alice Lowe did pretty well. And
yeah, I thought everything was really well acted.
So, impressive feat in terms of... doing like the vast majority of the duties on this movie between directing, acting, and writing, and being 7 months pregnant, and at the it was filmed in 2 weeks.
Under
2 weeks in Cardiff, England. That I can't begin to imagine. Like it's a feature film.
Isn't Cardiff in Wales?
Is it? I don't know. I mean,
never
were
mind.
They? Insert car horn here. But so that's Prevenge. It is going to be coming to Shudder later in the month. It opens theatrically in New York and Los Angeles soon, and it'll be available on Shudder March 24th. So if you've got Shudder, absolutely check that one out.
Absolutely. So this year, 2017's March Madness, Save Horror Madness.
Yeah, trademark pending.
We all go a little mad sometimes. Haven't you?
But we have different people playing this year. Real different people.
Oh, you mean in terms of the brackets?
Yeah. We've it's the same people on the same bet, right?
Yeah. So we are joined by Miskatonic Musings, the girls in the back row, and women
in caskets. Yeah. And they're always bitter because they seem to just keep losing. Right? So I understand. Sean Thompson won from Miskatonic Musings for October Madness.
Yeah, and so punished everyone.
It's Women in Caskets' turn, but I feel with my bracket that I'm going for the gold.
I was feeling pretty great about mine. I still am. I don't know. We'll see how this conversation goes. But there were so many tough calls, even in the first round.
Keith and April shook it up this year.
Yes.
So tell me about your one of your hardest ones to figure out in the first round.
Well, the irony is the top is the very first one. It's the top left corner in the very first round. Silence of the Lambs versus Cabin in the Woods. Those are two movies that I love.
Love.
Like, they are at my core. They pull at my heartstrings. They give me the warm feelies. And having to choose between them was a real Sophie's choice.
So I played a game a little bit on some of these really hard ones that was like, if it was on TV, which channel would I switch to?
That's a very good way to choose.
And so I had to go with Silence of the Lambs. I cannot. It's like a really bad compulsion. If Silence is on TV, I have to watch it.
Can you talk more about that? Because what is it about Silence?
Oh, I love it.
Is it that
I love
you
it.
Saw it at an earlier age, and so it kind of meshed with your sensibility?
I love quoting it. It's one of those movies that I literally say the words as they're being said. Like, you see people on TV do that with old movies.
Yeah,
that's
like
what
movie
I do
karaoke.
With Silence. Yeah, and I love it. I love Jodie Foster in it. I love the killer. I mean, like Buffalo Bill. It's not that I love Hannibal Lecter so much, but I just love Jodie Foster in it.
Yeah, I adore the movie. I love Cabin in the Woods. I chose Silence of the Lambs, and I'm a little conflicted about it.
No, I think it was a good choice because it's not exactly horror, and that's where I get
a
little.
That's why it gets the vote.
No, it got the vote for a little while, but it doesn't like win out in the end because it's not exactly horror.
Yes, down the line, I have it losing to the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
What? That's insane.
That's jumping ahead.
Yeah, that is jumping ahead. And it's insane. I obviously have Evil Dead going against Silence and Silence beating Evil Dead. You'll notice in that same top bracket up there, there's Phantom Carriage and The Bird with the Crystal Plumage. Now, Phantom Carriage, I finally learned about when we did our Scanda Horror.
Okay.
From 21. So I had that going because it actually is a pretty great spooky story. It's one of those
really?
Tales
from
to
21?
Tell in the dark is what it kind of seems like. You know what I'm saying? So I had it going, but losing very quickly to Evil Dead, obviously. Let's not go crazy.
So they have The Thing going against Devil's Backbone, Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But The Thing is The Thing. Come
on. You love The Thing.
Guillermo del Toro himself wouldn't choose his own film over.
Exactly. I think that's fair and
so
fair and fine.
Further down that line, The Thing goes up against Halloween. Those are two John Carpenter classics. The Thing is definitely the better film.
Yes.
And I have that going, well, I'm going to spoil it, all the way. Interestingly, Halloween won the first 2 years in
a row.
I
know. I'm worried, too. So I thought, like, should I try and see what people will vote for? Should I go off of that? Or should I go with what I really think? And so I have The Thing going very, very far and beating Halloween. And I'm a little scared that that's going to sink me. But I guess we're on the same boat together.
Yeah, it'll be
and
a tough week.
There's only one Dick Shark, really. You know, it's like no one can make us watch that again.
There is. I mean, that almost sounds like a challenge, though. That, like, how much worse could it be? Actually, on that note, it's worth saying that because the, like, spoil rewards were so bad the last year, we've opted to be a little more positive about it. And so the
Which
winners,
I don't like. I like the payment.
Maybe.
I like it.
I want others to suffer.
Because winning
is
that much sweeter. Let me tell you. Because when you do win, it's that much sweeter.
All right, a little bit of a God complex there.
That's because you never won.
No, I never did win. I don't know what the people like, it turns out. Why do I have a show?
I don't know.
Through those brackets, I had The Wicker Man taking Babadook.
That's absurd.
What? Wicker Man is better than Babadook.
No, it's not.
You don't even like the Babadook that much.
We just watched the Wicker Man.
Yeah, and it's fucking rad. What are you getting at?
I don't know that music.
You don't like the Babadook that much.
I know, but I like it better than Wicker Man. That music is too much.
The music spoils it?
Yes, because the point of it is the music. Anyway, whatever. We're not talking about Wicker Man again.
So I had Wicker Man facing off in the second round against The Exorcist. That was a tough call. I do like The Exorcist more.
I had the Babadook going past Exorcist.
Really?
Yes, because I don't like The Exorcist. But I don't like The Exorcist.
We've never covered The Exorcist in this show.
I know, because
I
keep telling
you,
have you seen it recently? No, I have. I
saw it a couple years ago.
You're always like, blah, blah, Exorcist. And I'm like, have you seen it recently?
All right. We've got an Exorcist show coming up. That just guarantees it.
I mean, I love Exorcisms.
Okay,
so.
On the other side of the bracket, you had some pretty scandalous things in terms of the weight that Psycho will carry.
Oh, yeah. So I guess, spoiler alert, I have Psycho going all the way.
All the way. I couldn't remember if it was, but that's still surprising to hear out loud now.
I have it beating out A Nightmare on Elm Street. And that was a really hard, like, question I had to ask myself. But having recently rewatched Psycho, mm-hmm. and really thinking about the whole music and everything about that,
sure.
the music is literally what put it over the edge for Psycho beating out Nightmare on Elm Street.
It's a music-heavy couple of weeks here.
That's all I've been thinking about, apparently. And so that's why Psycho, it really, like, drove a lot of my thinking.
So the Psycho is initially matched up with The Dead Zone,
yeah.
the Christopher Walken, Cronenberg.
Which is silly.
It's a great movie.
Yes, but that's
it's not Psycho.
Yeah.
I do love that movie. We're thinking of that in terms of like political horror, but
right.
we're still sort of figuring that one out.
Then I have it showing off against Body Snatchers, which clearly Psycho wins against the 56,
yeah, the 56
Body Snatchers,
black and white.
Right? I have it against Videodrome. It's going to win against Videodrome,
yeah.
let's
yeah,
be serious.
Fair.
And then Nightmare on Elm Street.
What did you have Videodrome beating out to get there?
Tale of Two Sisters.
Okay.
I don't like Horror of Dracula.
Oh, no?
The Christopher
Walken. Lee. Dead Zone Christopher Walken.
The Christopher
on
Lee.
The
I could take that or leave that. So I
dug that
yeah.
one. I especially like Peter Cushing's Van Helsing jumping off at that. Yeah, I like that one
I
quite
do
a bit.
Like Peter Cushing, but no. Vincent Price, if he was there to join the party, he could have saved it, but he wasn't.
I had Horror of Dracula facing off with Rosemary's Baby
mm-hmm.
in that second
you
round.
You know how I hate Rosemary's Baby,
I
so
do.
That's
I
why
didn't
Video Drone
expect to see that in your final
through.
Bracket. Although I'm looking at it now, mine made it to the like quarterfinals. Rosemary's Baby is in my quarterfinals.
Against Psycho?
You're not going to like that one. I had Rosemary's Baby beating out Psycho. By
That's
a
absurd.
Nose! By a nose!
That's absurd. That's absurd.
Mindy's going to throw her mic down and walk away in public. It's going to look like we broke up.
It'd be like they were having a couples conversation on mic, and then they broke up.
It's a good thing that European family left, because we had an audience
yeah.
for the first portion of this podcast.
It was fucked up, and I wanted him to go.
It would have been awkward, though, if you should have stormed off and stared them down, be like, this is because of you. Like, you, this was unnecessary pressure.
You've ruined my marriage.
What are some more controversial first round picks you had?
First round picks? I mean, I really didn't have too hard in the first round. I did have to stop and think about the 32, the Todd Browning Freaks, and Evil Dead 2.
Yes.
But obviously I gave it to Evil Dead 2.
I think I did as well.
Yeah.
Although I'm looking at mine and I'm reminded that your beloved 28 Days Later
yep.
didn't make it as far as I thought it would.
It made it to the final four.
Yeah,
yeah,
getting beat out by the
Psycho,
aforementioned
by Psycho.
Psycho.
I know, and it was like a really quick decision. It was I couldn't
okay.
stop and
you,
think
you
about
had
it.
Had to pull the Band-Aid.
Yeah,
fast.
I had
yeah.
to just do it because I had 28 Days Later last time.
Yes,
and it didn't. I mean, I won, but it didn't.
Not because
win.
Of the last,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So I said, fine. Fuck you, Twitterverse. Let's go with Psycho.
And Facebookverse and, I don't know, Google.
Voters. So I let Psycho have it. You know what I'm saying? But it was a lovely, like, the final four for me is big, heavy hitters.
So that is the cool dynamic that, yes, the more narrowed down it gets, like, there are no bad movies. And
no.
that's kind of the point, is to sort of compare your darlings while you've been murdering them in the process getting to this point. But yeah, I had a big face-off between The Shining and 28 Days Later. I went with Shining.
That's
I've recently
absurd.
Rewatched it. It's not absurd. I think fans would agree The Shining's a better movie.
I have The Shining losing to Aliens.
Really?
Yeah, Aliens is good, dude.
Some people, I wouldn't argue that. I love Aliens. It's barely a horror movie, though.
Yeah, so, yeah, but Silence goes pretty far, too, so we can't, like, play around with what's
yeah.
true.
Although I think
and Jaws
Silence
is there at all, which is an adventure. You might as well put Jurassic Park on there.
I think Jaws, I don't know, this is a weird debate, which I think we've even had before.
Yeah,
but
I'll
the idea that, like, Jaws is a monster movie, it's a killer animal
I'm trying to be better
movie.
With it, I'm not always good with it. But, like, Jurassic Park's not on here, so, like, what are you doing? You
Let know? Me ask you, there's some showdowns. Okay, so Get Out is a new addition to this bracket.
Yes.
And that, I think, is... presupposed because it's being reviewed incredibly well.
Yes.
I think in the first week, like after 100 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, it had 100% score. For a horror movie, it's fucking unheard of.
Right, right. And now, so I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either. I'm going today.
I did vote for it twice. I have it going two times on because, number one, it was against Village of the Damned, the 61,
yeah.
And anything is better than that. So I assumed it had to be.
It is funny that, like, white Aryan children
against
in
Get
mass
Out.
versus Get Out, the modern, yeah, sort of racial tensions commentary Get Out.
Yeah.
What are some other... I had a weird matchup between American Werewolf in London, which I just recently rewatched, and The Fly, which we did an episode, doesn't feel like it was that long ago. I had American Werewolf winning out. But that said, like, I don't know. Well, you weren't that wild about The Fly, but
no,
I'm guessing
not
American
the
86. Werewolf.
Now, if it was the original Fly, the Vincent Price, I would have been a little bit more pleased with it.
Really?
Yeah.
You preferred the original?
It.
Yeah?
I liked it.
All right.
Vincent Price
I mean,
is a goddamn class act.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that movie is a little kitsch.
But I liked it. I liked the little tiny fly man.
I
love that.
I appreciate that you're going from the gut.
I just like make it happen.
I think people in past, I'm not going to name check, but people in the past have sort of done what they thought crowds were going to do.
That doesn't always work.
Recognize the.
We'll talk about the witch.
I'll just say it. So well.
I'll just say it. Two of Miskatonic Musings went crazy for the witch. Did not pay off. That's why Get Out only goes so far with me.
I think, in all fairness, Get Out, while like crazy popular at the moment, not enough people will have seen it to vote it through to the very end. And it's premature for a present day movie to win top spot.
Right.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Alien. Oh, you said Aliens because that made it out
to
beat The Shining.
That's yeah,
so
definitely.
Weird.
No, because you know why? Because I'm crazy. You know, I think The Shining is a great film, but I think the book is so freaking good. And not to be like one of those assholes, but like if it was the book, The Shining, then it would go and go and go on.
Oh, okay.
But not the film. No.
Okay.
Not going to do it.
Yeah. I recently rewatched it and funny things jump out at you just like when you're not like sitting on the, I was making breakfast and I started playing it and it sort of played throughout the meal. And I was just watching moments where like Shelley Duvall tells Danny, like, I'm going to leave the room. I'm going to look for your dad. Just stay here and watch cartoons. At this point already, like, Jack's been acting like a crazy person. Her son's been attacked by an unknown assailant. And she's just like, you chill here alone, little one. And I'm going to go look for your mentally unstable
dad. That's a thing that kind of bothers me, like, really bad. And I hate when people talk about Wendy Torrance like she's some great, like,
She's like a classic battered wife.
Yeah, and I really can't. She is like a doormat. She's not actually a very good mom either.
No.
It's not good. And I hate when people have this like special reverie for her, for Wendy, and it irritates me to no end.
Yeah. I was thinking about that recently, that she's had some struggles with mental health recently, and that like between this role as a battered wife, the wife of an alcoholic, abusive husband, she's meek. Like she's playing meek. And to know the, like, behind the scenes where Kubrick is fucking torturing her. Like, it wasn't enough that she's playing this role.
I mean,
but
I think that's
Kubrick
probably
is the abusive husband in this relationship.
Right.
Also, I was like, that's got to take a toll.
I can't with that character. So that movie is kind of like, I just can't with it.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. What I did like, once she does bat Jack over the head and drag him into the pantry and lock him in there... Mm. Jack's got about 5 minutes of alone time before he tears into the Oreos and the salted peanuts and all the snacks that were in the pantry.
I would do that, too. That's like, me. That's if you trap me in there.
Making the best out of a bad situation.
Yeah. Don't trap me in a pantry. I'll just eat my wife to freedom.
I will eat these goddamn walls. So, yeah. So, ultimately, same bracket as usually follows. I wind up with John Carpenter's The Thing.
You always try it.
I think this is the year, though. I think it got pretty close last year.
Yes.
And then it might have gotten beat. I don't remember exactly, but I think it might have gotten beat by Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's patently wrong.
Well, I have Nightmare going, you know, really pretty far, but obviously losing to Psycho.
Mm. Yeah.
Psycho's in the Elite Eight.
It's a strong call. I think Psycho... as the class, as the warranted classic, I think it could do it. So right. I like our chances. I think we both have some pretty solid brackets.
It's good stuff.
You know what? I'm going to give it to Keith and April that the movies they chose were great. Mm-hmm. And that's why even the first round picks were sometimes really tough calls to make. It is a nice mix of old and new. There, were, I like seeing Let the Right One In on there. I had it going up, you know, into like, I don't know, whatever you call it, the eighth quarter finals against 28 Days Later, and that's when it lost. But like, Let the Right One In is a modern classic.
Sure.
You know, I'm happy to see. Even, it's exciting that even Get Out gets a sort of shout
out. I do like the spread of everything, but I feel like it is kind of neglectful of sometimes the 90s, early 2000s a little bit. I would have loved.
Scream
on
nice
there.
Home.
I would have loved to have seen Cube on there. Honestly, like Cube would have been a great one to put against some of these like modern or even some of these classic ones. It's like a great time in horror that
I would have
people
slotted out Village
about.
Of the Damned for Cube.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how voting works out. And I got to say, I'm confident in our polls. I think the brackets are only starting to come in to the contest.
Yeah.
And we're grateful that Dawn from Women in Caskets is doing the tallying this time around. That said, I thought I saw some questionable judgment calls on her brackets. I
didn't
agree.
She seems pretty good. She seems pretty solid with her things, but I definitely have things that I side-eyed for sure that she's out there.
So that'll close it out for this episode of our Lunch Hour Reviews series.
Yeah.
Let's give a shout-out to our Patreon supporters who get an entire catalog to themselves. They get to covet more of Rance Macabre. And for the low, low cost of like a buck a month, we'll get you into the club.
Yeah, right.
We've got exclusive content like fan commentary during movies for, in this case, Deathgasm. Fully produced episodes. Right. We got a great Night of the Living Dead episode. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff there waiting for you. The Killer Cars episode was pretty major, which we recorded because we're method.
In a car.
In a car. Of course. On the way to a place.
That's right.
So find us on Patreon. /Rance Macabre, and we are also on all the social media at the same location, at Rance Macabre.
Yeah.
And drop by on iTunes and give us a review. It goes a long way to help us spread the podcast, share us with a friend.
Yeah. Reviews, stars, whatever. We'll take what we can get.
Yeah. We're on Stitcher Internet Radio as well as Google Play Music. You get your pick. We're also at therancemacabre.com where you could listen to the episodes, download as well. We've got like visual content. It's also a hub for like videos and all the other stuff we make and work on for the podcast.
Drop us a line. We are therancemacabre@gmail.com.
I think that'll do it from Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan.
Before the snowstorm gets us.
This is me, Darren, signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks.
The Rance Macabre. Cutting,
cultured,
and curated.
And curated. And curated. And curated.